You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
We don't want penalties, but I've gone down this road before. Penalties are probably a bad predictor for win rate. I'd focus on quarterback rating, turnovers, and rushing margin. And we won all three of those. So I would say that the easy thing to say, because I've lived this world, is when I was first starting in Tennessee, I was the penalty Nazi.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
That was Mike Vrabel talking about the Patriots' 12 penalties in yesterday's win over the Dolphins. Mike Vrabel joins the Greg Hill Show every Patriots Monday throughout the year, brought to you by Northeastern Savings Bank, the leading financial option for New England businesses and the families that power them. Northeastern Savings Bank, upgrade to local, member DIF, FDIC. And that surprised me, Fitzy, because I believe in the post-game show, Six Rings post-game show yesterday, WEEI, also available as a podcast on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts, you asked me the first thing I thought Mike Vrabel would want to clean up, and I believe my answer was penalties. And
it was indeed.
Mike Vrabel just told the Greg Hill Show that he used to care about penalties, and then it seems that somebody, and this is Dan Ball's world, analytically brought to his attention that, hey, coach, have you ever looked at this, that the team that has the most penalties has a 50-50 chance of winning the football game? There's not a direct correlation between penalties and losing football. That answer, very few answers stun me, Fitzy. I've been in this business a long time, brag, and very few answers flat out stun me. When Mike Vrabel said he used to be the penalty Nazi and care about penalties more than he does now, that stunned me this morning on the Greg Hill Show.
Yeah, I would think that that would be the first thing that he would want to clean up following yesterday's win, which could have also turned into a loss were it not for some sloppy footwork from Miami's lead running back or just a million other things. And that also doesn't fit with the brand. I know in the initial speech it was, we're going to remove entitlement from the building. We're going to make you proud. We're going to earn the right to be here every day. Usually, Andy, aren't like penalty committers, mistake makers, and repeat offenders, and aren't those the people that don't usually earn the right to be in the building every day? Like, penalties are sloppy football. I know for a fact, I think it still applies, that committing a holding penalty reduces your chance of scoring a touchdown to somewhere between 20 to 25% on a drive.
See,
like, That's a mess.
And that's I don't know all the numbers. I'll believe you on that number. I'll believe Vrabel on his numbers. I'll just sort of take people at their word for their analytics.
Risky, but okay.
For me, it is. For me, it's just, we always, like when I look at teams from afar and they have a lot of penalties, I think they're not very disciplined. They're not necessarily well coached. They probably aren't going to win close football games. They're going to have to overcome those things. And he's basically telling me, no, penalties are kind of not really directly related to winning and losing. And I struggle with that mentality. And I believe him that he has the information. This seems like Stretch played a role in this, if I'm being honest. Feels like Stretch, John Stryker, probably played a role in this, explaining it to Mike.
Yeah, you and I go back and forth a lot. And I think I tend to walk more frequently on your side of the street on this. I'll bring up analytics and tell you certain numbers or certain theorems suggest X, Y, or Z in football. And I know you're not the biggest believer, and I know what you also think of the website poof.com as well. I guarantee you this is supported by some EPA War Plus WRC in Cincinnati idea that, like, oh, it's okay, you can commit penalties. It's just bad football. I refuse to, but this is one time where we are overthinking something in football by a half to a full measure and supporting it with some hooey-gooey, theoretical, analytical nonsense, when it should just tell you, if you go the other way, that's the wrong idea.
Yeah, well, except for yesterday when it may have actually helped them, because they were going to go for it on, I believe it was 4th-and-2 late in the game. They had a false start, becomes 4th-and-7, so they kick a long field goal. They put 3 points on the board. Then they give a game ball to
Andre Borogalis, as Courtney Cox would call him, and everybody's happy game and ball. Has confidence. Guy got a game ball. Do you know that? Guy got a game ball.
I know he did. That is a please don't miss again ball. That is not a game ball.
That was
a sign of confidence ball. That is not a game ball.
That was weird. But that's a case where it may have helped them. They extended the score. They win the football game. I don't know how that game turns out differently. If they go for it and get stopped, the Dolphins take over. They're only up 3 points. That game could go in a totally different direction. So maybe they benefited in a weird way from that penalty and kicking the field goal and everything that happened after that. But this whole idea that penalties are suddenly, like, you know, when I always say that the coaches have told us when they talk to the media, they're talking to the team. The players are hearing them. Mm-hmm. So is he telling the players that 12 penalties are okay because it's not really directly related to winning and losing?
Not a great precedent to set when you've got a three quarters new team.
Yeah. And
a lot, and I mean a lot of rookies and young guys.
Yeah, a lot of young guys, including guys that are having penalties, like Will Campbell and Jared Wilson and others. Like,
yeah. I thought we were done with lining up in the neutral zone. I thought we had kicked false starts to the curb like a bad habit.
If you also listened, he made some excuses. He didn't believe Will Campbell jumped offsides. He thinks that was a fictitious call, that he was just pointing out the rusher that was coming. He didn't believe that Chasen lined up offsides. He should have been warned. It was close. He did not care for the officiating that crew had. But it was interesting because as much as he poo-poos penalties and that they're not directly related to winning and losing, and he used to be the penalty Nazi, but he's not the penalty Nazi anymore here in New England, he was asked a question about Will Campbell's leadership in terms of it being presented in supporting Morgan Moses after his penalty. And at the end of this answer, he makes it sound like he cares about penalties.
With the penalties, Morgan Moses had said that Will Campbell came up to him after and said, you know, don't worry about it, it happens. I guess Morgan had said that to him last week on the sideline. Do you feel like Will Campbell's turning into the leader that you want him to?
I think that he shows up every single day, and I think he does his job, and he cares extremely about this football team. And so I think that that's starting to make him a leader. I think he is prepared. I think he executes for the most part in the game. He knows what to do. So I think that makes him a leader, and hopefully this trend of, you know, these linemen false starting and then patting each other on the back after the game can end. We only have three more linemen to go, so we're 40% of the way done here with, you know, it happens. Yeah, don't worry, it happened. You know, hopefully 3 more weeks we're done with this.
So I loved that answer. It was fun. It was a funny answer. Will, yep. You know, Morgan Moses tells Will Campbell, don't worry, it happens. Will Campbell tells Morgan Moses, don't worry, it happens. And Vrabel's like, can we stop telling each other it happens and maybe stop it from happening? But why do we need to stop it from happening if there's no direct correlation between penalties and winning and losing football games? And Fitzy, did I mishear something? Am I misunderstanding something? Because we get the text line, 608. You guys are being a bunch of dinks. That's not at all what he said, and the fact that you're doing this is a travesty. What did he say? Because I would love to be clarified. If I'm being a dink and he didn't say that penalties aren't that important, then what did he say? Because that's what I took.
Yeah, it's sort of a logical extrapolation of what he said at that point. And also he's been a coach for a long time, player for a long time, parent for a long time. Maybe while he's often one to employ a firm hand, maybe right here he's trying to kind of, you know, good cop it a little bit just for a while to ease any anxieties that his guys have, as opposed to just busting their ass and busting their chops over committing penalties when he's trying to teach them, you know, how to learn to win all over again and play good football.
Okay, maybe. Maybe he cares. Maybe he doesn't. Maybe he'll, I don't know, walk it back come Wednesday and clarify his comments about the value of penalties.
He just said he wasn't going to do that anymore last week.
Well, he might need to, because I need clarification on whether penalties matter, or they're a good thing, they're a bad thing, or they connect to losing. 617-779-7937. Let's get some positivity. Joe and Melrose, what'd you think of this Patriots win, Joe?
Hey, guys. No, it was outstanding when I thought they were going to beat the Raiders. I thought they were going to lose to Miami. The fact that they won this game more than makes up for last week. It's a division win, too. I mean, Drake May looked outstanding. He looks like the franchise quarterback that he is. And Josh McDaniels looks great. The defense and special teams had uneven performances, but the offense was outstanding. I love the fact that all three running backs can catch a screen pass. That's going to really help slow down pass rush. Drake May made Matthew Judon look like an old man on that touchdown run. And, you know, I mean, I heard Rob Bradford chirping about Drake May. So, I mean, he's got to shut up now.
Oh, Joe.
Wow.
Wait, did Joe just get the homer horn?
Yeah. Did you listen to the call?
Yeah, I listened to the whole call. I didn't hear. Tell me where he lied. Tell me where there were mistruths.
It more than makes up for the loss against the Raiders?
Yeah.
This team is abysmal. They all hate each other. They want their coach fired, and they suck.
And they barely won.
The Dolphins, I'm saying.
Oh, I thought you meant the Patriots.
No,
their coach.
No. They're not much.
Look at the way he bait and switched. Did you fall for the ball, cheese?
Yeah, we'll just move on. We're going to devalue something the Patriots hadn't done in 5 years.
Which is?
Win in Miami.
Win in Miami.
Beat Tua, something they'd never done.
Miami has not been nearly this bad in the 5 years prior.
They've had ups and downs. They're probably not nearly this bad because they're going to get their coach fired.
Yeah, they've been a consistent playoff contender, unlike you.
They're super bad, yeah.
I'm not going to devalue this win because I think that's a tough place to play for every Patriots team that has ever existed dating back to like 1978.
I'm just saying that you were one Devon Achane toe nail away from losing this game and us having a completely different conversation than we've been having.
Yeah, but that's
I appreciate the optimism.
That's how NFL games go. They're all one score games. They're all one score games.
Yeah, let's give you for example, if I may, Andy, in a bonkers NFL week two, you know, the Indianapolis Colts, they're now the owner of the distinction, the first team ever to start the first 2 weeks and never punt, right? Well, that wouldn't have mattered squat if they finished 1-1, except for because of a new rule employed a couple of years ago, which was interpreted rather finely, where the defensive lineman touched the center after the snap on a field goal. The kicker got to re-kick a kick and beat the Broncos. The Broncos should be 2-0, but instead now everybody, you know, the Colts are the ones that are 2-0. Like, it's a lot of ticky-tack stuff sometimes is what gets you to win. The Colts learning how to win again. The Patriots finally learning how to win in Miami and against Tua. And overall, Dan, your points are well taken, but when you start, like, if it could be a bumpy first bicycle ride, but at least you didn't have to have any training wheels on, your dad holding the handlebars down the hill.
And your bike is in great condition, because your bike, what you're going to ride to success, is Drake May. And that's, I think, Dan, I would be more on your side if Drake May had had an uneven game, a touchdown, an interception, two fumbles, one lost. Like, if there was any of that, Drake May was phenomenal. The rest of the stuff that all you people told me is going to be good is what almost cost you, right? Tackling. Robert Spillane, your free agent middle linebacker who's going to have 175 tackles. He's a little bit on the Pop Douglas payment plan. He's going to pick up the pace if he's going to get to 175 tackles over the course of this season.
Andy, I know we're playing the who looks better than we expected and who actually needs to pick up the pace game. Did you see the stat that came out about the linebackers earlier today?
I don't know. What was it? Why don't you tell us?
I would be happy to share it with you and the audience at large right now. The linebacker that leads the NFL in missed tackles, Robert Spillane with 8. Guess who's nipping at his heels?
Probably Christian Ellis.
Christian Ellis with 6.
Yeah, I mean, I don't need numbers to tell me Robert Spillane has not played well. You watch these first two games, and maybe I was holding him to too high a standard. I haven't loved what I've seen from Robert Spillane throughout this first venture into New England. I didn't think he had a great camp.
What's going on?
I don't know. Maybe he's overrated. Maybe he's a guy. Great story. I love the work ethic, work your way up, the trials, the tribulations, finding your way into becoming a high-priced free agent linebacker. I love all of that. But I said to these guys, somebody has to make tackles. Like, every team has a guy that makes a lot of tackles. You had a guy for a couple of years in Bentley that made a lot of tackles.
Still unsigned, by the way.
I was going to say, what team's he on?
The 33rd team.
So he.
Oh, he plays at UNC.
That's a good line. So he went from basically being a team's leading tackler over multiple seasons and a captain to not finding a job. I just think the guy who lines up in the middle of a defense in the NFL, if he stays healthy for a full season, going to have a lot of tackles. Like, it's kind of just inherent with the job. There's a lot of run plays, crossers. You're going to pick up tackles. Robert Spillane, I thought, was going to go above and beyond Bentley and take you to a new level at middle linebacker, and he has not. If anything, it's been a disappointment. And it isn't just, oh, it's not fair, he can't keep up with Achane, he's too fast for him. He couldn't, and that was true, but he also had one where he tried to lay the lumber, just bounced off a guy. I don't remember if that was Achane or somebody else. It was somebody right in front of him, came up, tried to plow with a big shoulder, made contact, and the guy just said, yeah, but you're not big enough to knock me to the ground. I'm just going to keep running up the field, and you stay here on the ground after you fall down. He has been a disappointment in those missed tackles. Again, it's early in the year, so I do wonder if it's just a result of need more practice and reps and some of the things Marcus Jones told us earlier, but it's not great. Let's go to the phone line, 617-779-7937. Randy in Providence. What's up, Randy?
Hey, how's it going, guys? What I called to ask about was exactly the linebackers and the penalties, the last two things you guys went over. Just to put numbers to it, I mean, the penalty is 10.5 a game for 72.5 yards. And over the past 5 years, it's been 5.4 a game for 45 yards. Oh. So, I mean, that's a significant difference that I can't imagine is a good result. And I honestly didn't believe Mike Vrabel when he talked this morning. I thought he very well could have told them one answer and then walked into the team meeting. The first thing he said was clean up these penalties. Because Morgan Moses with 3 false starts, with 25 yards of penalties on special teams, these are not good things. And I just didn't believe him.
Thanks for the call, Randy. So you heard what I heard, Randy. That's what I'm taking from that. You heard what I heard, that he was sort of diminishing the importance of penalties and cleaning up the penalties. You just choose to believe, for whatever reason, he said one thing to the media, and then when he gets in the team meeting room, he's going to give them the riot act and lay down the law and tell them they need to clean up the penalties. Because to me, that's like coaching 101. Every coach that I've ever, nice coach, bad coach, Pete Carroll, good coach, Gerard Mayo, Bill Belichick, they all care about penalties. And if Randy's numbers are right, you're telling me on average the Patriots are more than double the number of penalties they've had as a football team over the last 5 years? And we know they haven't really been a good football team over the last 5 years.
No, there's not a single coach in football America that would be preaching that penalties are okay so long as you're giving it your all and the final score benefits you as opposed to your opponent on a weekly basis. It flies in the face of basically all football reason, rationale, and logic that we've been taught from zero to today.
Time now for our league leaders and Who's Circling the Drains, presented by Drains by James. Drains by James is Eastern Mass's leader in residential and commercial drain cleaning and pipelining at drainsbyjames.com. At Drains by James, they give a poop about your pipes. Fitzy, did you know that the Patriots lead the league in sacks, including those two key sacks late in the game from Harold Landry and Milton Williams? I didn't think the pass rush was great, but with the game on the line, they got it done there. So that's good, right?
7 sacks over 2 games, that's pretty solid, better than league average.
Did you know they also lead the league in passing yards allowed, I believe? That is not great. That is circling the drains kind of defense in the back end. And I also don't really know. That's kind of hard to do, to have your front lead the league in sacks and you still lead the league in yards allowed, although that could also imply that, boy, your team's throwing the football on you a lot. They're just kind of dropping back a lot and trying to sling it all over you.
Yeah, when Alex Austin gives up on 5 targets, 4 catches for 83 yards and a touchdown, you could use a little Gonzo. You could add that to the mix.
So, yeah, you could use a little Gonzo. And according to Mike Vrabel, and we're going to touch.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
On this next here on WEEI Afternoons, Gonzo has a chance to be back this week, unless he doesn't have a chance to be back because the coach said chance and then tried to unsay chance. We're going to talk about that confusing mess next here on WEEI Afternoons. But first, a guy who's never confusing, it's never a mess, it's Dan Ball with What's Trending.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.